Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Strictly Hoops with CJ and Miles. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Push
on your podcast
button.
Platforms and on YouTube. Every like button. And subscribe there, as well as the great CJ Miles
the
just
great,
said.
Man, the your great. Intros have been fire lately, man. You've been making
Thank
me
you.
Feel like I can do anything during the day, you know?
That's it.
Hey, no, you're right.
I can do anything. No, 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 no.
Oh. That's crazy.
How we doing, bro? How we doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good, man. You know?
Yeah.
Living the life.
Beautiful.
Working at home. Taking the kids to school. You know, can't complain.
We have the same life. That's crazy. Okay. So with CJ today, a couple of things. We haven't actually done a Strictly Hoops like podcast in a little while. So it's going to be a bit on JJ Redick coaching / player coaches having a bigger influence on today's NBA versus years prior. For starters, JJ Redick, the cycle that we're seeing now, and this is the trend that I'm seeing, is, let me put it this way, front office staff being more populated with people that are just out of the league, like, you know, 4 or 5 years. And I find a lot of that has to do with today's NBA, the culture in which is in today's NBA and how it's different from years past. And I think nowadays, current players gravitate more towards other players who have been in the league, been in the trenches, who understand their plight. You know what I mean? More so than other generations. What is your takeaway from that? Like, do you see that kind of trend happening as well?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, not that I don't think there's been good coaches that weren't players. I just think it's great because, one, like you said, players getting to see somebody who directly understands the situation, knows, been in it, can talk to me from experience, all these things. Like, it definitely changes the weight of the voice a little bit. But then the two thing we got to look at is that the game has changed so much over the past, what, you want to say decade?
Yeah. It's
like, well, let's just say that, or even further than that. But like, the game has changed so much that there's a spot we get to where that old style of play that coaches had, that the coaches you were digging to, they can't coach that style of play now. So like, because the game is changing the way it's changing, taking people right out of it is the best way to get ahead of it, because they already have an understanding of what it is. I don't have to learn how to coach in this. This is the way I just played it. This is why Jason Kidd had success right out coming into it like that. And then there wasn't so much of a learning curve as the game was changing, because he wasn't that far away. And you see more and more coaches doing this now. They're filling their styles with players right out of the game so he can keep up with these kids and keep it young and understand what's going on. And then you even got it on this side, like what we're doing right now. I think people, the same way with the players, people just hearing people that come directly from it, that can speak about the game, that can speak from that other side, that's been in the locker room, that's been on the plane at 2:30 in the morning when y'all figuring out how we're going to beat this team in game four, all these different things. Like, that's a different perspective. And it carries over in everything. And it also, last point, that it brings light to guys learning the business side and the other side of really studying the game and really understanding what it takes to manage those personalities and teammates.
Something that has come up in other cases, and I'm talking, I guess, mainly about a Steve Nash, and that you could say that was a unique situation, but it seemed like you saw where you do something like that and it could go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, he had great assistants. There was Kenny Atkinson, there was Ime Udoka. There were other guys behind him. And I think that was the idea, is that, you know, although Steve is kind of raw when it comes to being a true head coach, we have these guys who can support and whatever happened, happened. But do you worry about that for someone like a JJ Redick or someone else, that maybe they aren't ready to be necessarily a head coach? No different than we might say an assistant coach who is separate from the whole player side of things, maybe they're just not ready to take on that responsibility. Like, why would a player be better positioned to do it? Or perhaps, you know, what could be some of the challenges, even for someone like yourself? Like, what would be a challenge that you're just like, maybe I'm not ready to do that?
I think the hardest thing, if we just speak on Steve Nash's situation, was just the situation. Like, you got three of the best players.
Yeah.
Arguably to ever play this game sitting in front of you. And they already wanted an established coach for that because they felt like they needed that for them. Like, they needed, like, they need, those three needed a coach that had been coaching for their psyche. Not, I don't think it was so much Steve Nash. I think it was just the outlook they had on it from the beginning. Like,
sure,
I've been with coaches better than him in my mind already. Hmm. Why would you bring that in here when we trying to win? Because they got so much control because those are the three best players of their time period, really, of their generation, right? Like, but I think it's just the temperament of the guy. I think he got to set his tone. I think JJ has a pretty good temperament. Like, I think he has a temperament that can coach, that can hold the room, that guys can respect and not.
I think so too.
Do enough to not take no bull, but like at the same time, not try to like overdo it. I think he's somewhere in that fine line of his knowledge of the game and understanding. Long career.
Definitely. He's seen different phases of basketball. Yeah, So Doc Rivers was just fired by the Philadelphia 76ers. And what podcast was it? I forget which one he was on, but Rasheed Wallace was talking about Doc Rivers and the season that he had in with the Celtics, and Doc was a coach. And he was saying that, you know, Doc wasn't the best at making adjustments on the fly. He's like, if anything, when we were on the court, you would think of the minds that were on there, Rondo, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rasheed Wallace. Like, Doc was like, he's a motivational coach. He can do that. He's like, but when it came to like actually making the adjustments on the court, it's like, it was us. We would huddle before we got on there and we would do our thing. And that's been a criticism of Doc in years prior too. So it's like the balance, like you want, especially for players nowadays, where I think we are seeing that the head coaching role, that could be why we're seeing so much turnover, is that the role itself is being minimized for whatever reason. And so sometimes you do just need a player coach type of person or a motivational person, someone who can kind of get players locked in game by game versus an X's and O's person.
Because I think that speaks to the greatness of the players, right? The IQ. Yeah. But the way the game is played relies so much on the IQ now. It's such an open style of play. Like, I don't need the X's and O's guys when we don't run X's and O's. Like, there's not a lot of plays ran. They ran out of timeouts and in the game. And even those are just to get your best guy in a space to be one-on-one most of the time.
Exactly.
So, like, it's not so much X's and O's anymore.
Because read and react, essentially, right?
Yeah, the IQ of the player is so much higher, and it's so much freedom in the game that is taken away from the head coach being looked at as a mastermind of what they could be, but they also can't coach that way because some of these players because if I control a Kyrie Irving or a Kevin Durant or a James Harden or a Devin Booker too much, it allows the defense to be able to guard them better.
Yeah,
because I put them in this box. There's no read and react to what they're doing. It's like, we're going to run these sets that always got you in this position on this side of the floor, or we're going to start the base of this the same way every time, and we're going to run them off this screen to get them there and just try to we can figure them out. Now, if I just let them play and play with pace and tempo and they just play off what the defense is doing or not doing, it's different. Like, we're not running the 1-4 high UCLA like we used to run in Utah no more in the league. Like, you wouldn't be able to score.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. The game's come so far, we've seen so much. We've seen everything.
The defenses are too good. And also, the offenses are so much better when you do have this free-flowing style. And we've seen with the Toronto Raptors, they were trying to implement that this season. And I always looked at the Boston Celtics. I mean, they've had their tribulations during the playoffs, but during the regular season, we saw how effective it could be, where you have players that are just always in tune with each other and, okay, that's, we're slipping towards the basket, we're going to cut here. And when you have that, now you're unpredictable. That's probably the biggest thing that all offenses want right now, is you want to be unpredictable. And you're trying to, during your coaching sessions, during your practices, during your film sessions, as a coach, you're probably trying to preach that. How can we be unpredictable? So on the court, you're barely even listening. Like, you don't need to even look at me because you just know. You know what I mean?
And
you can get that better from a player. is what I was going to get. You could maybe get that better from a player.
And the other thing is the skill sets of every position has grown to play this way, which is what took away from the X and O's too. Because back then I had to run the X and O's because my fourth man wasn't handling the ball and doing my fourth man was 260 and set screens and rolled. And then, everybody's was so specific. Now I'm able to be so spontaneous because I got four guys that can play the point guard on the floor.
Yeah.
I got five guys that can shoot threes. Three guys that can beat. Like, think about how many times you watched the guard be the pick and roll guy at the top with the point guard. Yes. People didn't do that. That wasn't a thing back then. It was the big guy get up there and scream.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Screen and roll. The biggest guy set the best screen is what it was just a thought processor. The
now
game
we're
is
seeing all kinds
so
of
much.
Inverted pick and rolls.
Exactly. So now, like you said, when you see a player who's been in it, done it, understands a little bit more of the nuances of because he's on the floor of what kind of skill set we need to work on or what I can do to manipulate these things, that's hard to see. A coach that hasn't played some of that stuff, he just can't see, right? He's just not on the floor. He can watch all the film of it. He can see what you're doing, but he had to come to you to ask you why and the technique of it and the thing. So, like, if you just put the player there and he's the one teaching that, since we just opened and he's just teaching guys off everything he already seen and what's being done right now, it's a little different. He just got to be able to hold the room.
Yeah. No, true. And part of holding the room is you need to ensure that the players respect you.
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot. And I think another part of this too is, and I don't know if you heard Masai Ujiri during his end of season presser, is that he was stressing that, like, I hope you guys see that free agency is over.
Yeah.
It's player transactions. Players decide where they want to go. Yeah. Players decide where they want to go. And that happens. And now you look at that and okay, so if you want to bring in a JJ Redick, and personally, I don't think that, I'm not sure if they're even going to. I think the Raptors are just truly scouting. They're in a learning phase. They haven't been in this situation where they're looking for a coach for a little while, and the NBA has changed, as we're talking about. You know, 2019 Raptors to now, like it's a very different NBA.
Yeah, and the coaching pool is different too. Like I think we had the coaching pool was one way for so long. It's different now. Like,
and so they're taking their time, but at the same time. You think about a JJ Redick, you bring him into your front office. That is going to be appealing for free agents, for players on other teams. They're going to pay attention to that. And I think Rico Hines, that addition, that had a part of it too. Not taking anything away from Rico and how he can help a player develop, but he is a name. He is a person that is well-respected throughout NBA circles amongst players.
I know what I'm getting from Rico.
Exactly.
Like, I don't have
and
to
you trust
guess.
Him. Yeah. Yes.
Same with Phil Handy. Him. Same with like these guys like that on the staff. You know what you're getting out of them. And like with JJ, like you said, if it's a guy that you respect that I know of, I know there's a fresh look at the way we're going to play coming in. Like a lot of times, like if it's a coach that I've been playing against my career or I've seen or been around, I kind of know if he gets hired, I know what kind of tactics he's bringing and I can kind of decide on. I don't really want to play for him. I don't like the way he liked to play. Like that can kind of be could be a good thing or a bad thing. The same with the player bringing in JJ. It could be a good thing or a bad thing. Some people could want somebody who's been doing this and been doing it. And some people could want that fresh outlook because they've been trying and trying, AKA Damian Lillard. But I'm just saying, these are the type of guys they might need something different.
Definitely. And within this player's league. It is a players league now. That's what Masai was saying too. Having someone who is liked by everybody. You see the names that JJ gets on his podcast. And that's just an example. We're using JJ as an example with this, but it could be anyone else. That matters. And you want players to be happy accepting of a trade to the Toronto Raptors, and the Raptors do have some assets. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I think that's what Masai is going for. You want to bring in someone with a fresh outlook who the current NBA scope, current players like, and they want to rock with, as you said. That's
important. He said he wanted culture. He wanted new culture. That's what he talked about.
That's it. So, like, that's it.
That's the thing we talk about. You want new culture. You need new minds. You need new outlooks. You need new voices, right? So at least some. I mean, obviously, we know there's going to be some because the head coach usually brings in a couple of guys of his own. So,
definitely.
Or he gets to have some input on the guys anyway.
Last question on this. Who do you think, so based off a player's 16-year NBA career, what kind of player would probably make the best coach? Would it be a person who was like a number one option on a team? Would it be a point guard? Would it be a person who was a role player off the bench? Would it be a shooter? What could it be, a center? Do you think there's any connection there? Because I find that with hockey, for instance, it's like the guys who are like the third line grinders slash like defensive players. Those are the ones that end up being, you know, NHL coaches. Is there something to that with the NBA?
I don't know. Like, I think about that. Like, you would think a great point guard would be a great head coach, right? You would think. And there's been cases where it has not been that. And there's been, and then there's cases, obviously, where they are that have been that. I think there is, I think it more than the position, I think it depends on, like, when you look at the player, the way they play the game. Like, because you can tell how much study they put into it, how much they paid attention to every position and every, I think that tells me more than the actual position, because it could be a center that could be a great coach because he just paid attention to different particular things. Some guys just go hoop and they just like, it's not really broken down too much. Some guys just have a natural ability to read and react and just be a freak of nature. And some guys need that mental side. And I think a lot of times those guys that end up being coaches have been on great teams. They got to like the really, really high level of basketball because it gets to a point where that's mandatory to see the game this way now. You can't just go out there and just play because I'm going to play the same game, same team at the most seven times, and they're going to take away something every game. They're going to do something different every game. So I got to be able to see that and what it is and what I can do and how we can meticulously break this team down for four or five games to win this thing. And I think that's a big key. You see Jason Kidd, Doc Rivers, JJ Redick did that at a high level. It's a bunch of, I'm just naming off the top of my head, but a bunch of coaches that were playing. Not saying Steve Nash didn't have that. He just didn't have a good run that time. Mark Jackson was another guy. Steve Kerr is another guy. Played at the highest level of a team, probably played at one point, right?
Definitely. Like,
you look at these coaches that make it there that were players in the league, usually they were winning teams.
See, I always thought that players, and it could be shooters, but just players who just have like this different kind of work ethic, who are very meticulous. And that's why shooters came to mind for me, because with coaching, from what I understand about it, like, you are putting in possibly more hours than any player is. If you want to make sure that your team is as good as it can be with the film work, with the personal relationships, with everything that you got to do to prepare for every single game, every single practice, it probably feels like it's like a 24/7 job itself. And players is the same thing too, but it just feels like it's a bit of a different grind for a player. For a coach, it's just so much grunt work and the dog days and being able to get through those when you don't really want to do it and things like that. It just seems like it would be something that would cater to, you know, a former point guard or a shooter, someone that has to do just like a ridiculous amount of
to a former good player, right?
Yeah.
Somebody who understands the grind, which goes into what we talk about, a guy that was on a winning team, a winner's. Winners usually have that type of, some type of work ethic, I think. But I think the other thing too is being a player and being in locker rooms and seeing the type of players and seeing their reaction to their coaches is a benefit.
Yeah.
Because, right, coaches aren't around players all the time. A player that goes to go coaches around players all the time, was in the locker room, knows the gripes guys have with coaches. And they tend to be the same. Some of it be the same no matter where you go, right? So having that to your benefit also helps too, because I think knowing a player's personality allows you to see guys.
Sure.
Like, understand how much it means like when you got this guy that's fell out of rotation and been working month after month, and the second you get him a chance to play, you get him in there. Like, or just letting him know that it's seen, letting him know that what he's doing is not going unnoticed and things like that. And just being able to talk to guys, like talk to them, like have an open line of communication. Look, you're not playing right now. Here's why. This is what's going on. Having that open level of thing makes teams run so much smoother, I've seen.
Closing thoughts, CJ? Or is that a pod right there? That's it.
That's a
there we go. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Deuces. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back. We'll be around. Be easy.